numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. The final days of VSiN here at the South Point. And it's, Kelly, what would you say? It's like when you go to an estate sale and most of the merchandise is gone already. It's just, you're like bare bones. And you're like, should we still be out here?
We're getting it done.
Yeah.
We MacGyver things around here. Yeah. We just need a couple popsicle sticks and some rubber bands. We'll get it figured out.
Yeah, harder for you guys than me, I guess, back there.
I've never done shows in my career where we haven't had the internet before. That's happened at VSiN, so it's okay. If we've done that, this will be no problem.
Yeah, no problem. We're professionals. On the show today, Wilson Hilson, to talk about his baseball plays. Full day baseball today. Cannot wait. I'll be betting baseball live with Wishnev today, once again.
I heard you guys caused a ruckus in the Caesar Sports Bowl.
It's not you guys.
I heard you guys.
No,
someone called me up. It's like your boy Gil's out of control.
No, it's him. Because if we have a first five bet over 2.5 on a team, if a base knock happens and the third run is going to round third base, the entire sports book is subjected to his play by play on it. That's a hit from Mount Castle. Here comes around third base. You like look around. Everybody's staring. I'm like, it's not me. It's him.
Like, I just came in for a quiet afternoon at the sports book.
I just want to make some money. That's all I'm doing. By the way, it is baseball brain dead season. We've talked about on this show for years about brain dead parlays. And if I'm, I used to bet baseball just as serious as anyone, 2014, 2015, 2016, actually 2012 through 2016, even before that. Great seasons, bad season here and there, mediocre seasons. I don't bet it every day now. As folks who listen to the show know, but what I will do at this time of year, also, which has become a staple on this show, is just betting brain dead parlays. And for two nights in a row now, it was a Giants Dodgers Mariners one, came through on Monday. Yesterday, did not. I figured the Mariners would still get over the absence of Julio Rodriguez. They did not against the A's. Couldn't get home the potential tying runs in the bottom of the ninth, so it didn't work out yesterday. But that's the kind of thing. It's a lot of that going on right now. So we'll talk to Will Hill about that if he does that himself. Zach Cohen on the U.S. Open. I went another 1-3 on 4 dogs for me in the U.S. Open yesterday. My first 2 days of the U.S. Open, 1-3, 1-3, 8 dogs. I don't ever remember starting a tournament with nothing but that. But it hasn't worked out. The one I was oppo on with Dan, I won. The one I was oppo on with Drew, I was up 2-1, and then he came back and won. Drew's having a great start to the season. We'll see what Zach Cohen has to say. My two tennis picks, can we just throw these in right here? From this, are today, they're already gone. The prices are gone. And so that's been, we talk about good baseball seasons, bad baseball seasons. 2020, 2021, our tennis seasons were ridiculous. Our 2021 hardcore season specifically. 2022, moments. Won a lot of futures. 2023 has been the year of just getting ahead of every line and then not coming home. So it's been super frustrating. Or being on the cusp of dog victories and having the opponent walk off the court. Well, today, the two plays are on Kaya Yuvan. Kaya Yuvan, I got it +116 last night against Lauren Davis. Kaya Yuvan is now -125. So it's not really playable at that price. And Anna Kolinskaya, I got it +168 against Sorana Cirstea. That's +147. I suppose that one is still playable. But again, all of that is, hey, the handicapping appears to be right based on CLV. But as it's been going this year, as we said, clearly that doesn't mean anything this year.
I was kind of even chuckling when you talk about the brain dead parlays. I think that with baseball, it's the, me and you were texting this morning of isn't it fun when you put so many hours of work into handicapping something
wonderful.
Just to break even or lose money, it's great.
It's the greatest feeling
ever. Brain dead parlays, at least, whatever, if you lose, you at least didn't waste any time working on it.
You didn't waste any of your time doing it. And it's not. And again, it's not something we talk about any other time of year. We don't ever recommend parlays except for this time of the baseball season. We've done it year after year. Mike Pritchard on the NFL, Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. Jason Weingarten is fascinated by this Matt Stafford dissonance with young players story.
That was an odd one yesterday.
He said he'd never got more engagement from a tweet than tweeting that out, which is fascinating to me. I was like, really?
Really? Interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't see what he tweeted out.
So he's a big Rams guy. He's fascinated with that. we don't usually start with like, hey, these two things happened, and we don't usually do headlines first and then we go in. But there's a couple betting implications with some stuff that happened yesterday. One, I'm sort of fascinated by this Angels story. Did you follow this yesterday?
Yeah, that one too. Yep.
So this broke yesterday, and according to some insiders that I may or may not know, sort of was a leak yesterday on this. But the Angels placed nearly a quarter of their roster on waivers, including starter Lucas Giolito, who they acquired, of course, with much fanfare before the trade deadline, as they did Reynaldo Lopez. Also relievers Matt Moore, Dominic Leone, and then outfielders Hunter Renfro and Randall Grichuk. Remember, they grabbed Grichuk from the Rockies before the trade deadline as well. And that prompts, as they wrote in the Jeff Passan article, a flurry of intrigue leading up to Thursday when the teams will have a chance to claim these guys. Now, this is the reason that this is interesting is because before there was one universal trade deadline in baseball, when it was a rolling thing, this happened more frequently. But since there's been one universal trade deadline, it would take a very specific, I feel like I'm Liam Neeson, a very specific skill set. No, a very specific arc for this to take place. And the arc was exactly what happened to the Angels, which is, okay, we are going, because we have Shohei Ohtani, and I still maintain they had no choice. People disagree with this, but I still maintain they had no choice. They had to go for it with Ohtani. They decided to go for it. Ohtani, not only then did the Angels immediately start sucking it up. In fact, they've had the worst record in Major League Baseball since August 1st, 7-18, which has been coupled with the Shohei arm injury, which may forever change his career. Then the Mike Trout, oh, I'm going to show up for a minute. You're actually not ready. You got to go back to the IL. See you later. That. And then the general suckitude. So they have had to, because of that, gone from immediate buyer at the trade deadline to, oh no, now we have to completely reverse course, and now we want to try to get below the $233 million competitive balance tax threshold so that, you know, for instance, if they lose Ohtani, they'll get a second round pick as a free agent rather than a fourth round pick. So they want to dump salary. They want to get a better pick if they lose Ohtani. Like, it's a whole, just the mindset has had to flip completely. And so the potential betting implication of this is, okay, who gets first dibs on these players? And the answer is, well, the worst record you have, the first dibs you have on these guys. So of the teams that are, you know, in playoff contention, let's put contention in quotes, who are those teams? I guess if you still think San Diego is, I don't. Right, they're 9 games below 500. Will they pursue a claim? I don't know. But what about a team like the Marlins, who are 66-66, need bullpen help? What about a team like the Reds, who have been longing for starting pitching help and didn't do much at all, if anything, at the trade deadline? I don't know. Does Lucas Giolito become an arm for the Reds? Does that induce a Reds to make the playoffs bet for you if you can get ahead of that, if you think they'll go for that? These are the things you have to think about with this Angels news yesterday. It's right on the margins. It's right on the fringes, but maybe it induces a bet for somebody.
Now, how many of the players that they waived are, would you say, would make any kind of impact on a team?
Well, I mean, Giolito and Reynaldo Lopez, you could argue, both from a starting pitching standpoint and a relief pitching standpoint, you could argue, yes. A guy like Grichuk, who, again, by the way, these guys, here's the awkward part of this. These guys are still playing.
Right. Yeah. So
Grichuk went out, and his first three at bats yesterday on waivers while playing for the Angels were double homer. But his salary is too. So these guys, for like $50,000, these teams can just pick up these players for the rest of the year. That's all it'll cost them.
So it's nothing.
Well, it's nothing. But how was it explained to me? So someone like with Grichuk's salary though. A guy like Moore, right? He's signed to a 1-year $7.55 million deal this offseason. He's had the best season of all these guys, struck out 47 and 43 innings, career low walk rate, 2.30 ERA. But Renfro and Grichuk, $11.9 million, $10.3 million respectively, they'll be slightly less desirable with the acquisition cost, because the salary still has to be paid over September and October. So with that big of a salary, it's still something significant for those teams.
Gotcha.
Whereas if you have a small salary, it's really, $50,000 and nothing. Whereas with those guys, it's $50,000 and actually a chunk of that money.
Yeah, Renfro's got his NFL check coming, though, anyway.
That's so right. Renfro, he doesn't worry about it. That's very true. It's amazing what that guy does. So anyway, perhaps that you know, induces a bet on the fringes. The other one is the Jonathan Taylor news finally came down. Yesterday was the deadline. It was also cut day in the NFL, right? Final cut day. And it was the only cut day these days. And Jonathan Taylor, who, you know, didn't like his situation in Indianapolis, wanted to get fair value. Well, Colts didn't get a fair value offer for the all-pro running back. And with no trade materializing yesterday, Taylor remains on the PUP, the physically unable to perform list, the PUP, making him ineligible to play in at least the first four games of the season. I don't know that that's bet-inducing, because this is the same thing with the Cardinals yesterday and cutting Colt McCoy. You're like, oh, did anything move? Well, when you suck, you suck. There's not much move. It was already kind of baked in, most of this stuff. And there wasn't much room. There certainly wasn't much room for the Cardinals to fall. There was a little more room for the Colts to fall, but no one expected him. It was already built in.
I will say that as someone who's heavily invested in the Jaguars in that division, this team felt some of the most wild cardish to me of what I was going to get out
of
them.
So you're a little more comfortable.
I'm a little more comfortable today. Yeah. I mean, I think we've downplayed how much running backs mean in the big picture of things, but you're still talking about one of the best running backs in the league with a rookie quarterback stepping in. I think he could have helped relieve some pressure, especially in those first few weeks, that now he's not going to have the opportunity to do so. Yeah, if you're holding the Jags ticket, I think you're feeling a little better today.
Feels cakewalky, doesn't it?
Feels cakewalky.
What could possibly go wrong?
The NFL, nothing.
Oh, man. Get here already, NFL. We're waiting for you. Again, that's the difference. Not four preseason games, but three preseason games and a week off before we play these. Will Hill next. His baseball plays of the day on a numbers game.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from the South Point Hotel Casino, tip of the strip, the majestic South Point Hotel. What's your favorite part about the South Point, Kelly?
Oh, man. That's a great question. Because there's a long list, and I'm not trying to be cheesy, but like I think just the cleanliness factor of local casinos, and not even compared to downtown, some places on the strip that you would expect to be nicer that aren't. Like the South Point, oh, it's always nice, clean, and it's not, you know, you don't got too much ruckus or dirty people around here making a mess, you know.
What a lovely extemporaneous answer that was.
Yeah.
Well done.
I mean, look, the hot dog cart's great, they're famous for that. I live right around the corner. If I need to go see a movie at any point, there's a movie theater here.
Movie upstairs right above us.
I mean, great bowling alley. I wish I was more into bowling. I've only got up there like twice, but it's a great bowling alley.
Amazing 6.5 years, like a bowling ball hasn't cracked through this roof onto it.
Remember when we used to have the hanging camera?
Yes, they did.
It would swing back and forth. We were trying to figure out forever what that was. I'll never forget Triv being like, yeah, it's that bowling upstairs.
Hey, Crack will be on the show tomorrow. Crack invited me to dinner tonight. Guess what time dinner is? Take a wild guess.
9 p.m.
4:30.
With the other side of it.
I think we're getting filmed or something. Like 4:30. That's very interesting. It's the oily bird.
That's fantastic.
All right. So many things to bet on. DraftKings has exact results now. We've done matchups in the Super Bowl before on this show, but we haven't done exactas.
So this or at least not recently. Yeah.
At least not recently. That's right. What we probably did in like March or
late
April.
May, yeah.
Before we talk March Madness today, let's talk NFL exactas, that kind of thing, back in March. All right, so the short shot in all of this, there's going to be no surprises here. The Chiefs to beat the Eagles, you can get that at 28-1. The Eagles to beat the Chiefs, you can get at 30-1. Then it's Chiefs to beat Niners, Bills to beat Eagles, Bengals to beat Eagles, Eagles to beat Bengals. You get the idea. It all revolves around Chiefs, Eagles, Niners, Bills, Bengals, and then after that, you get the Bills of the world. So those are, you know, generally considered. There's a nice little graphic. Hey, we have a graphic. How about that? Bills beat Niners at 60-1, for instance. So the Cowboys sneak in there with the Chiefs to beat the Cowboys. How about that at 50-1? I didn't see that one. That one got past me. If you were to bet this, first of all, let me just ask that general question. We are not in a DraftKings jurisdiction. If we were, we wouldn't be allowed to. If you were to have this market available to you, and maybe some book here.
We do. We have a couple shots.
Yeah, some books do. Have you made a bet in this market?
I've made multiple.
Oh.
I've made multiple.
Kelly Bidlin has made multiple.
And Gil, my thought process on this year, and it's a little bit how you brought up the AFC, NFC yes, no's, and yep. maybe we'll get to those tomorrow a little bit. But for me, there is an extremely limited amount of teams in the NFC that I really believe can represent the conference in the NFL. Therefore, I think it represents value to be keying in on a couple of those teams. And Cowboys and Eagles, I'm higher on than Niners. I will say that. I think all three of those teams you could absolutely make a case for. But the way I went about this was using the Eagles and Cowboys and kind of keying in several around those teams. So I played – and look, the way I did it was with AFC teams that – aren't the Chiefs. I did do one with the Bengals, right? Yep. But some of those AFC teams that we know the AFC is loaded, who do we think could possibly make a deep run, right? So where I can get a big number on something that where I think I have a likely NFC team, and if something plays out a little bit wild in the AFC, I've got a monster number on it, right? So I did play Eagles over the Bengals, which isn't that exciting, but I found it 52-1 here in town. And then I played an Eagles over the Chargers at 120-1. Yeah, that's right. I played Cowboys over the Bengals at 90.
Stop it.
Cowboys over the Ravens at 200.
When did your Cowboys love begin? When did that romance start?
I mean, I like this team. I like this team. And this year, I think they've got a really good team coming back, both offensively and defensively. And I don't really think – I think the Philadelphia Eagles are the only ones I've got in front of them in the NFC.
Who's the coach of the Cowboys?
Mike McCarthy.
That's all I wanted to know.
Okay.
It's funny. Like, you of all the teams we haven't mentioned, who is the shortest shot in any combination beyond the usual suspects of all those teams at the top tier? It's – the Chiefs over Detroit at 70-1 at DraftKings.
Yeah.
If I were betting this, and I have not, full disclosure, I have not made a bet, but I went to Bengals to beat the Niners at 65-1 as the one I would play.
So,
Bengals to beat the Niners at 65-1.
I like that, but don't you agree there are a limited amount of NFC teams that you could see making a run to the Super Bowl?
For sure. I mean, that's the thing. It's... You threw in the Cowboys, but most people feel it's Eagles, Niners in whatever order, and the Cowboys would be the big three. And there is the consensus is there, and the market reads this, right, that there's a massive drop-off after that. So the notion of this being the year that Kirk Cousins and the Vikings, or the upstart Lions, or the Seahawks behind Geno Smith, the right. notion that they would get through a playoff gauntlet, some of them on the road, to get to the Super Bowl is, we can't see it. We really can't.
I can't see it. And that's just where I think this market, I have more bets in this market than I think any season I've had before, with even just the five I read off.
What a spectacular bet this would have to be live during the postseason.
Oh, yeah, totally.
This would be so great to have this.
And yes, I think it's a little bit... In most years, when we talk about this, you're getting more balanced conferences, right? So this is, I think, it is tougher. I think there is more value that you can extract from this market this year, as long as you're not looking right at the top of the board, right? As long as you're not looking Eagles Chiefs, which that would be the same every single year. I think you could find some great value here focused around some NFC teams if you go a little further down.
First appearance of the Jets is Eagles to beat Jets at 80-1. This is at DraftKings. First appearance of the Dolphins to beat Eagles 80-1.
So, but like, those are great examples, right? If you're a high on any of those AFC teams,
sure.
I think there's some great value.
Okay, but I think everybody gets that. You know, I think it's consensus that the NFC is very top heavy with those two or three teams. The AFC is has a little more breath when it comes to teams that are good. But ultimately, same question, if we talk about the AFC, beyond the Chiefs, beyond the Bengals, do you really believe in the Chargers or the Ravens or anyone else? The Bills, obviously, I'm leaving out the Bills. So let's say Chiefs, Bengals, Bills, same thing. We want a big three in each conference. Do you feel the same way about all the other teams in the AFC as you do all the other teams in the NFC? Maybe not, but isn't it closer than you're making it out to be?
I don't know. I don't know that I feel that way. I do think
You think this is the Brandon Staley Chargers year?
I'm just more. It's more about also how the playoffs are set up, right?
Sure.
You get these teams in there.
Right.
It takes one game, right? It takes one game, one injury, whatever, and you're all of a sudden in position.
I'll definitely give you the more AFC teams because if Justin Herbert just went crazy. you know, for Browns fans, if Deshaun Watson became that guy again. There's definitely a path.
I mean, if Lamar Jackson bursts out and this offense clicks like everybody's talking about it might.
The Ravens are always live.
Yeah.
They have a packed backfield. They play football the right way.
I like the Dolphins. I'll be honest, I have no idea what to expect from the Jets this year. Like, I think that defense is going to be good, and yeah. I don't know what this offense is really going to look like.
No, I was trying to talk myself into that I could still only see those three teams, Bengals, Chiefs, and Bills in the Super Bowl, but I guess I don't see it that way. I guess I really could. Like, if you told me at the end, this was finally the year the Chargers caught fire. Well, I mean, they got he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, mm-hmm. for sure. Now, if you told me it was someone else, right? If you told me it was Denver or even Miami, I would be like, even Cleveland to some extent, I'd be like, I don't really see it happening. Cleveland made the Super Bowl.
201 for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. 201 for a reason.
But I'll give you the Chargers and Ravens as sort of the next batch after the big three there. Anyway, I think these are good bets. I think I will probably have one before the season starts. I don't think I'll go that far down, though, because if I could have a... What was it again? Bengals-Niners combinations? What did I say?
Sure, yeah. Bengals-Niners.
I'll happily live with that.
Like, that's a good one. Yeah, like, another one. Like, I didn't use this AFC team, but Drew brought him up the other day, maybe last week, I think he brought up this bet, of looking at Jaguars to get the one seed.
Oh,
right?
So that's an interesting wild card, too. Right, because they, because of schedule and division, specifically,
yeah,
there is a scenario. I know this sounds crazy to people, but having the best record in the AFC is in play to some degree.
Right. So even that, like, I know what you're talking about with how tough the Bengals Chiefs are, but if something plays out like that, you're talking about neither one of those teams having home field advantage throughout the playoffs. It becomes a much tougher test, at least in my opinion, for the Bengals Chiefs this postseason.
I'm scrolling down for the first appearance of the Jaguars in an exacta, and I'm still scrolling. There
right,
it is.
Yeah.
Eagles to beat Jags 90-1. Jags to beat Eagles also 90-1.
Yeah, see, like, I don't hate that bet.
Yeah,
I am very high on the Jags.
What are the books in town that have them?
Circa has them and Caesars has them. I believe those.
So if
two.
I want to put it on my Caesars app before the end of the day, I should log in now. Is what you're telling me?
They've had major problems. This is the worst. 24 hours.
This not even 24 hours, Kelly. This is the worst app I've ever dealt with in my life. Like, it's hard enough getting in, and it's a glitch fest when you do. Oh, I have so many complaints.
Yeah, it needs some
lodge. What's that? And what?
It needs some work.
Yes, it needs some work. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. We'll talk to him next, what he's betting. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Split bets!
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets, and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way too many to count. That VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check them out. Today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I didn't read any tweets today, Kelly. Always appreciate the feedback. 3Jack, H3131, quote of the day, if you suck, you suck. I believe I said that earlier. I'm going to work that info into all my work conversations today. Thanks, Gil. He says, hashtag Ghost Strider. Yes, Ghost Strider. And Strider, I guess, is going up against the Dodgers tomorrow night. They moved him back from the Colorado series. Elvis Toast Patterson fan. Gil, did I hear my radio right? Do you predict big things for Will Hill in the future? Wonder what? Cough, cough. I do predict big things for him. Chance Copperpot. Did Gil drop general suckitude in reference to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim? He gives me the definition of that. Trust the glove. You know it's going to be a bad day when Gil and Kelly are in your waiting room. Huh? What is that?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't get that one either.
I love you, Trust the Glove. You got to explain that one to me. Let's see. Edward Lefevre. Gil, are you going to please explain on Friday what's going on? I love when you guys are at the South Point. Yeah, we're going to have Chrissy and Vinny in here, and we'll just talk about it being the last day here at the South Point, so we look forward to that. Always a pleasure here at the South Point to have folks roll on in to our studios. Today, no exception. You may know this gentleman from Twitter primarily, for assessing the injuries of players on the Twitter machine, injuries that are taking place in real time, ex-NFL head team doc for 17 years, and the live injury analyst at Sports Injury Central, the T-shirt of which he is wearing right now. It's David Chow. How you doing?
Good, yeah.
At Pro Football Doc, I should mention, on Twitter.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Gil.
Thanks for coming down here. I appreciate it. Can I ask you a harder, more uncomfortable question to start before we get into the Joe Burrows and the Terry McLaurins of the world?
Curveball, I like it.
Well, no, I'm just trying to anticipate what people would want to ask of you.
Sure.
And one of them, it strikes me that if I didn't ask this, I wouldn't be doing my job, which is, what is the medical veracity of sort of remote diagnosis, right? Like, I'm sure in medical school, they would tell you, yeah, it's probably not the best way to diagnose. You're comfortable with this, though.
Well, let me tell you, first of all, as we spoke about, it's about being authentic. And I make no secret that I'm not looking at x-rays or an MRI, that I'm not in the room and not treating the patient or the player. And if I were, and there are times that I actually know what happens or had treated a guy before, then I can't talk about it because of HIPAA. So the one correction I would make is that I'm not diagnosing anyone. Technically, diagnosing means you've examined and you've done something and you're telling the patient or the player what is going on. I'm not doing that. I'm looking at things from afar. And so what I call what I do is sharing insider knowledge, not insider information.
Okay.
Big difference.
Okay.
And we're the only site that truly does injury analysis. Everyone else does injury reporting. And I'm sure you'll ask me some questions later on. But I do it from video because for 17 years, I, you know, as the San Diego Chargers head team physician, I saw players on the field, on the sideline, in the locker room the next day after an MRI. Yeah. I knew exactly what it was. And I had about half an hour to kill on Mondays before meeting with the GM. Everyone in the building looked at film. So I decided maybe I should look at film. Why? I don't know. Everyone looked at film. And so I started doing that, and the video guys were nice enough to pull the end zone sideline coaches tape and the TV copy, and I'd look at it. Back then, it was on a DVD they'd hand me. And I already knew the answer to the question, but the video of a traumatic injury is the question. So now I'm reverse engineering. I don't know the answer to the question, but I have the question. But I study video for 17 years. And we've showed over time, we've actually stopped keeping the data because it just gets laborious, that we're 95% accurate.
I was going to ask you how accurate. 95?
Not 100%.
19 of 20 is pretty good, though.
Yeah, and it's not exact. Like, I'm sure you're going to ask about Joe Burrow, right? I'm not saying I can tell exactly what grade, but we said calf sprain before Zach Taylor said it. I mean, they were still on the practice field when he was carted off. Now, we think it's a higher grade strain than what Zach Taylor has said, being mild.
Okay.
So, but we can't. I'm not looking at an MRI, and we make no pretenses about
that. Well, a couple of things. One, let's just make clear. You were not the San Diego Chargers or LA Chargers doctor when Tyrod Taylor's lung was punctured. That was not you that gave birth to Joe Burrow's career.
And I know Justin's agent, and I joked with his agent, David Dunn, that when you signed that deal, did you give that doctor a tip? Because that launched his career, you know? And just joking, look.
Right.
I'm actually, if you Google it, linked with it, because we were the first ones to, quote, break the news of what probably happened when we looked at the video, what was happening on the sideline, the reports, and then saw that he had an injured rib on the practice report on Friday, but the news went crazy when Adam Schefter said punctured lung, right?
Yeah.
So we actually reported that. But it's common to do rib blocks in the NFL.
Let's go to Joe Burrow, since you bring him up, and he is obviously the most, you know, the most significant injury currently in the NFL. And it's been sort of under this weird haze of cryptic comments, right? So Jamar Chase has generated discussion for calling, you know, he calls Burrow, he's calling for Burrow to sit out Cincinnati's opener to allow his right calf to fully heal. And then Zach Taylor, just yesterday, was asked the status of Joe Burrow, and he goes, he says, quote, "We'll see. I feel really good about Jake being the number two," referring to Jake Browning. So you see Joe Burrow's injury. We all saw the video. It was a sort of from a distance. I have had two Achilles surgeries. So people ask me, by the way, specifically about Achilles. I'm like, you think it's an Achilles? And I was like, it's too far. I can't tell. You knew it was a calf strain and not an Achilles. And you knew specifically the grade of calf strain is what you're saying?
By video impression, not by diagnosis. Okay.
Okay.
And we've looked at this. I've spent, you know, a couple decades looking at stuff. And no, this is, look, Kevin Durant, I always said it looks like Achilles, though they were saying calf.
Me too, because it had the coil happen.
Yeah, and ultimately he tore his Achilles. This is not a Joe Burrow situation. It is not Achilles. However, calf strains can linger and can get aggravated easily. I think turn back, I don't know, a handful of years, Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, December calf strain, and then all playoffs did not run at all.
Do you think he'll play week one? Should he play week one?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think he will be able to play. Return to play is obviously a three-headed monster always. The player has to want to, and I think Joe Burrow's going to want to.
Sure.
Medical will need to let him, and I think medically he's available. If this were the Super Bowl, there'd be zero question. Now, management may say, because of risk of re-injury, we're going to hold you out. But I've said from day one that I believe that he would play week one in the NFL from the pocket, but not necessarily be as mobile. Not that he couldn't run, but he's going to be told, don't aggravate the calf by sprinting out or changing directions, et cetera. And I think he's going to play. But it's coach speak. That's what we do. We interpret coach speak.
Is medical, you refer to the medical team as medical, are they compromised in this? How does it usually work with NFL teams? Are they truly in a vacuum where they give their true Hippocratic oath, best medical opinion, or are they so compromised in all this that ultimately their say won't go very far?
Well, each team is different in terms of how much say the doctor or the athletic trainer has. And when I say medical, it's not always just the doctor, athletic trainer, physical therapist, who's ever in the building, et cetera. I never had a problem with it. That's the biggest fallacy. People are like, oh, you can't, how can you work for the team and the owner? How can you be good to the players? I look at it this way. If you work at a bank, your job is, any job, your job is to take care of the assets. You work at a bank, take care of the money. You work for a team, what are the assets? It's the players. Take care of them and be honest with your opinions. I never had any problem. The ownership and management never forced me to do anything. As a matter of fact, it was always players who drove me to, hey, let me go. I can do this. Shoot it up. Let's do X, Y, and Z.
I want to just, we only have a minute left here. Terry McLaurin, the incomparable Terry McLaurin of the Washington Commodes, toe injury, second preseason game. They obviously held him out since then. What do you think about that injury and how long could that affect him?
Our first initial in-game video impression was turf toe, and we think it's significant, at least grade two, by video. I think it's going to affect him, and this is why we've lowered his fantasy draft season six score. His week one six score is low. Look, when you have turf toe, even if you can play, it's hard to push off and accelerate and change directions. So even if he can play, if I were the Cardinals and defensively, I'd say, well, probably half his route tree is gone because he can't plant off that right foot and one cut go left.
And the only cure is rest?
Rest, the steel plate in the shoe, sometimes injection, but players don't like playing with a steel plate because it takes away their mobility. So if he plays, I don't see him being 100%. If he plays, if it's a normal prop, take the under.
It's not the answer I wanted, but fascinating. I appreciate you coming by. All of that is very interesting, getting that perspective, which we don't normally get. David Chow, Dr. David Chow, again on Twitter, @ProFootballDoc. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy.